We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 91 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I have been writing about games, promoting games, and marketing games for more than 10 years, which is a long time. Our other resident mom, Regina, is traveling with her family, so she won't be joining us this week. So it's just me and Steven Dutzman, who is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming and the father of three. Hi, Steven.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm pretty good. For those listeners who don't know that, or he says it a lot, so you should know, that Steven lives in Connecticut, which means he is buried under snow right now. How much snow have you guys gotten?
We got 2 feet and drifts as high as 4.
Wow.
Which is what I had to dig out today because my snowblower is broken. So I had to do it all by hand. Now, the cool part is I have this really cool giant yellow shovel that's like really big and can move a very large number of cubic feet of snow at once, which is good. But I still had to move a lot of it. Shout out to my wife and my older son who, I looked at him and I said, bro, you gotta help. So shout out to the two of them, for helping. I'm ready to go back to work because I haven't been at my day job in a couple of days. Now that is sad.
So my husband is in England, again, it happens a lot, but, so that left his, I want to say, quote-unquote, Final Fantasy duty was left to me because Anna has been sitting and watching him play Final Fantasy, like, constantly. And so she asked the other day to play Final Fantasy, and I told her, I'm like, honey, I haven't even played this game at all. So I'm not going to be anywhere near as good as Daddy. It's going to take me a long time to figure things out. So would you like to watch me play Horizon instead? And she was okay with that, which is awesome. I have managed to avoid Final Fantasy yet again.
Managed, so. But really, that's just to your detriment, because it's an amazing video game. So you're not gaining anything by not playing Final Fantasy. In fact, I think you're losing something, and that's fine.
Oh.
But that's okay. I mean, not everyone has to love Final Fantasy. Just people that are wrong.
Oh, okay. all right. So, the big news this week, or should I say over the previous weekend, Steven was at PAX East. He had a bunch of appointments, I think. So you were doing a VR appointment in the morning. So let me know, did you puke?
The VR appointment ended up falling through
because
I couldn't find them. The floor, no, I'm not even joking. The floor was so much more confusing as far as layout this year than it has ever been. And it didn't seem to match up with the map. So I was actually late for almost every appointment I had because I couldn't figure out what anything was. Part of that is because the Indie Mega Booth is not an Indie Mega Booth anymore. It's like an Indie Mega the whole damn floor. So,
right.
and it was just really crazy. And it was very crowded on both Saturday and Sunday. So I ended up missing the VR appointment. I was very disappointed. So we don't know if I puked or not. I probably would have, just knowing my luck. But I played a lot of other really good games, though. Not gonna lie.
All right. Let's hear about some of those.
So for full details of everything I played, listen to this past Monday's episode of Engage Family Gaming Podcast. It's about 25 minutes long. I actually recorded it while driving home. I apologize for the audio quality, but it's like pure atomic hot takes on my games. So the best game that I played was called Snake Pass. It's by Sumo Digital, and it is about a snake. And you're trying to navigate these 3D platforming environments. It really feels like they took a snake character out of like Banjo-Kazooie and like put him in his own game. What's really cool about it is Sumo Digital is really good at driving games. And what's interesting is this snake drives like a car.
Okay.
The idea is they studied the way snakes navigate three-dimensional space to figure out how this thing drives. And then basically you have a slither button, which makes you go, and then you have a grip button, which makes you break. That the grip thing helps you hold on to, say, like bamboo poles that might be spinning around or rotating or what have you. It was really cool. The soundtrack is done by the same guy that did Donkey Kong Country. So it gives you an idea. Cool. Like, it just sounds really exciting and poppy. But it's somehow, at the same time, it's very relaxing. It's very zen. There are no enemies in this game, so it's all just platforming challenges.
That's cool.
But it's platforming challenges with no jump because you're a snake.
Right.
So I thought that was really cool.
It's funny. I'm going to stop you for a second here. You said that's by Sumo Digital, yes?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, Sumo Digital used to be part of the big developer that I did PR and marketing for. It's a huge conglomerate of developers that no longer exists. But Sumo used to be one of those. Everyone is off doing their own thing now, but yeah. So yeah, there you go. I know everybody again.
Yeah, there you go. You know everyone. So it was really, I mean, it was, they were, the game, you know, I think by the end of the weekend, it won a bunch of, you know, Game of Show awards, you know, indie games. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was very cool. It's coming out very soon also. I think end of this month, beginning of next month, something like that. So I expect they're sending me a review copy, so I'll be able to talk in more detail about that one as we go. I also played a game called Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, which is... okay. So basically... it's like Dragon Quest Builders in that you play like a little character and then you run around and do quests and you build and you fish and you farm and whatever. But it's way softer. And I say softer meaning like everything has like this gentle, like warm colors, soft. There's nothing is like jagged edges. And you know, it's very peaceful. It felt like reading like a children's storybook. Which is super cool. And it was very relaxing. It's coming out this summer for PC and PS4. By the way, Snake Pass is coming to everything. Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So Yonder is coming to PC and PS4. It was first revealed right around PSX. And I was captivated by the trailer. And I had a chance to play it. I played it for about a half hour. Really dug it. I mean, it's very chill. You know, the character creation is like on the fly. You just change everything, like your hairstyle, your facial hair, like everything, which is super neat. I think this is one that we're going to have some kids lose a whole lot of hours to their summer once this comes out, because this is super family friendly, very, you know, very casual. So I think a lot of kids will dig into it. And the farming elements they scratch the same itch for me that Farmville did, in that you get a farm that you inherit and you talk to this book and it converts it to like a grid view of your farm, and you can lay things down like very perfectly on this grid. And man, I didn't want to get up. I didn't want my demo to end because I just really liked that.
That sounds like I could lose lots of hours into
sounds
that.
A little Stardew Valley-ish there.
Stardew Valley-ish, yes. So, No, that sounds great. What's it called again?
It's called Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles. The story is you're a little kid that shipwrecks on an island, and you have to kind of... You learn about this place as you quest in it, and all the people are super friendly, and eventually there's a story. They didn't want to talk to me about much about it, but there is like a meta narrative going on. And I think a lot of it is finding out the secrets of the island, because it's an island. But it was, I can't wait to play more of it. I think it's super pretty. Like you have to watch the trailers. So head on over to YouTube, look up Yonder, the Cloud Catcher Chronicles, or just Yonder PS4. And I think that everyone can understand what I mean, like when I talk about like it being gentle. It felt like I was playing in a storybook, whereas Dragon Quest feels like I was playing a Dragon Quest game. It just so happened that I was doing different stuff. This feels like I was playing a children's storybook, and it was very cool. I played this real-time strategy game called Northgard, which is on Steam Early Access, and it is blowing up on Steam right now. Basically, what's cool about it is you are Viking clans. That by itself, who cares, right? Whatever, you know. But what's really cool about it is an RTS that RTS meaning real-time strategy game that is that right from the jump has multiple paths to victory. Whereas the vast majority of them might have an objective-based one, depending on like the map, or it's just kick the other guy in the teeth until they're dead.
Yeah.
This one has other. This one has other options that are, you know, like there's a fame-based one, which is about like controlling territory and you earn fame in different ways. There's a lore one where you assign dudes as lore masters to these nodes on the map that are kind of capturable and defendable. I really dug it. Cartoony graphics, not a lot of blood, which I was super excited about because, you know, I hear Viking warriors and I'm like, man, am I going to be able to show this to my kid? And I can. It's very far along in early access. You know, this isn't, you know, some of those games you try them and you're like, wow, this is not actually going to come out. No, this game is legitimately going to come out. They've got four clans in now. They're going to implement two more. They expect that they're going to launch and they're going to add like more multiplayer modes and stuff like that. But they expect it to full release in September. So that's not bad. They sent me a Steam code, so I'm going to play it a little bit, probably tonight. So I'll have more information. What else did I play that we all give a crap about? I'm trying to think through the things that I did and saw. Oh, man, I played SteamWorld Dig 2, yo. Do you remember SteamWorld Dig? Did you play the original SteamWorld Dig?
No, I did not.
Okay, so SteamWorld Dig is pretty straightforward. It's a platformer game. You dig down, you get resources, you climb back up to the top, you use those resources to craft better materials and equipment that let you dig down farther, and you just keep going. You take those resources, you go up top, you spend them to buy new tools that allow you to dig farther down. The original game, you basically kept doing that, discovering some new tools until you got to the very bottom where you fought a final boss. Spoilers. This one, they're adding mini bosses and a little bit more of a narrative. And it looks super cool. And the protagonist is a obviously female robot.
Okay.
And not just because they took the SteamWorld heist guy or SteamWorld dig guy and put a bow on his head. No, she looks we laugh, but we know that that was a possibility. She's got cool steampunk goggles. And what looked like either, I couldn't really tell, I didn't look at it, but either like Leia buns or like pigtails that just have like ball bearing things on the end because she is a robot. So I don't know if it's like Pebbles from Flintstones with just like big like spheres on the end or Leia buns. I couldn't tell, but it's very obviously a female robot as opposed to the first guy looked like a cowboy. Only he was made out of, like, bronze. So I thought that was cool. And she was, I mean, you know, and the mini-boss thing I fought, it was cool. They called me, the developer called me out for figuring out the quote-unquote cheese strat for beating the mini-boss. Because I found out that occasionally it surrounded himself with this electricity shield, which since I'm a robot doesn't do damage to me. It just triggers invincibility frames and bounces me away. So if you are smart, you just let it bounce you up to the ceiling repeatedly, and then you fall down on it. You don't take damage, but it triggers your invincibility frame. So when it does shoot at you, the bullets just pass right through you. And he's like, you figured out the cheese strat during the demo? And I'm like, well, dude, I mean, how do you expect me to not try and use invincibility frames in a, I mean, come on. And he, so I was admonished. What else?
Yes.
And so trying to think of what else I played. I know I played one other game. No, but I think those are the important ones. You know, I played some cool stuff. I didn't get to do as much as I wanted to. there's just so much, you know? And I was only there for two of the 3 days. So I really felt like I missed some of it. Nintendo's booth was massive. There was a 3-hour line to play the Switch. And so my oldest was like, hey, Dad, did you play the Switch? And I was like, no. He's like, did you at least play Splatoon 2? And I'm like, no. What about Mario Kart? Evan, listen, I'm not going to wait 3 hours to play a console that I already own. The only thing that makes me kind of regret it is that they were giving out Nintendo Switch baseball caps to everybody that got in. And I kind of wanted one of those baseball caps. Oh my gosh, I was just reminded of the absolute coolest game I played at the show, Graceful Explosion Machine.
Okay.
Let me paint a picture for you. So Snake Pass was probably the best game I played, but I think the one that I'm going to put the most time into eventually is going to be Graceful Explosion Machine. It's an arcade style game. Here's the pitch. It's like Gradius, only you can turn around.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right? and all the levels loop back on each other. So they're like a circle, kind of like Rezogun from PS4 or whatever. The idea is it's just a time chase to kill all the enemies without getting hit, right? The more enemies you kill without getting hit, higher combos, score chase, whatever. And the faster you do it, the better too. And you get 4 weapons that are assigned to each of your 4 face buttons. That's it. And it's everything is like bright yellows and oranges and pinks and purples. It's very like, it's not neon. It's not pastel. It's somewhere in between. Bright shape, bright colors, very simple shapes. Your spaceship is just so not, like, even there. It's launching exclusively on the Switch later on in April. It's coming out before Mario Kart, and they're very nervous about that because they know that this is the period of time. Because this is the period of time where every game that comes to the Switch is getting scrutinized.
Yeah.
And so they're nervous, but man, they shouldn't be. That game is super sick. You know, I had so much fun. I had the developer sitting next to me, and every time I figured out something, he was like taking notes like, oh, this guy knows what he's doing, which was interesting because that's the first time anyone's ever implied that I knew what I was doing.
You know, most developers do that, you know, at PAX. If they're showing their game, they will definitely, like, if they're not like visibly writing down notes, they are going to watch you play and see how you play and everything. And that's good. I remember the first Lego game that I ever played was the Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4. And I got a demo from Traveler's Tales. You know, they developed the games, and I got a demo. I sat down, you know, this is when I IGN, I sat down and I'm like, okay, well, what are the controls? And they're like, well, why don't you just try what you think? We'll see what you think and whether that's right. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, tried all the buttons. Basically, they wanted to see how accessible it was, you know, so people would be using. I thought that was a cool approach. Not that, you know, you should just throw people games without giving them any direction.
But being that you worked at IGN, they probably assumed that you had a fair vocabulary for 3D platformers. Like, you probably touched a game or two, you know. I'm just saying.
All right. Yes. Yeah. So, so what about cosplay? Did you see any really good cosplay?
My God, I saw so many divas. So much diva. It was like I even saw a dude dressed up as diva. Not even. And it wasn't even like. And I'm fine with gender bent cosplay. I saw a guy that was Merida once, and he had like long curly red hair. And I was like, that's whatever, dude. The difference is he just was wearing pants instead of, like, the you know, the green dress that she wears?
Yeah.
He was just wearing pants. I was like, whatever. It was Merida. I'm not opposed to that, but that dude was just legit just wearing D.Va's catsuit. I was like, man, you get down with yourself, bro. You get down with yourself, bro. There were a lot, and you know what? I am comfortable saying that I was very much admiring the craftsmanship of all of their costuming. They did very good. Yes. I don't know if they were hand making them or if there's a company that makes the D.Va cat suit. I don't know. I really tried to not pay too much attention because, like, it's a cat suit. So if I'm paying too much attention, I'm like, you know, like being skeevy. So I'm trying to not be that guy.
Yeah.
Some costumes it's easy to pay attention to without looking creepy. Yeah. Diva's is not one of them. but man, I saw a lot of Diva. I saw a lot of, who's the cowboy from Overwatch? The cowboy, I forget his name.
Oh my God, Steven.
I don't play as him. I don't play as him.
I know.
I saw Reapers. I saw, oh man, I saw a girl Reaper that was so cool. Her, the way she did it is she focused more on, like, she had, like, a flowy cloak to kind of make up for or to simulate, like, the way he travels around the map. And her guns were on point. Her literal pistols. I want to be clear. I'm not making a euphemism, anyone listening. I mean, literally, her pistols were huge because she was, like, she must have been, like, 5 foot nothing. And her guns were, like, a foot long each. So I was, like, so it was almost like a chibi Reaper, almost. So I saw that. I saw the entire cast of Ruby, like, 7 times, which was great. I don't know if you know what Ruby is. RWBY.
No, I don't.
It's an anime. You're okay. It's
fine. Oh, okay.
You know what? I don't know if it classifies as an anime. It's a Rooster Teeth joint.
Oh, okay.
It's super, the art style is very distinctive, and the four characters are very distinct from each other, and so they lend each other to, like, a group cosplay. So we saw that, and I have never seen more cosplaying babies in my life. There were lots of little baby Pikachus, where, like, mom or dad was Ash. I saw a baby Mario. I saw, like, lots of babies. I have never seen so many babies at PAX before.
Yeah.
I've seen lots of kids.
Yeah, yeah.
But never so many babies. Never seen and never expected to see as many babies without, like, headphones or earplugs or something. Like, they were just letting those kids just get completely overwhelmed. Maybe they were hoping they would fall asleep from overstimulation. You know, how sometimes babies, there's just too much noise. They just shut down.
Yeah.
Like a computer. Maybe that's what they were hoping for. I don't know. But it was super adorable. Super adorable.
That's funny. I don't know if we talked about this last week. Did we talk about the cosplay that I saw at Emerald City Comic-Con?
Nope. No, we did not. Tell me about the cosplay.
Okay, so there was a lot that was sort of your standard, you know, expected thing. But the cosplay, the only person that I stopped to ask to take a picture of was this girl who was dressed up as Daenerys from Game of Thrones, which
totally saw
20 different Daenerys's, but this girl specifically was recreating the scene of where Daenerys is eating the heart of the stallion to sort of prove that her baby is going to be powerful and whatnot. So she was carrying around this, like, red glowing, like, crystal-y type of thing with blood all down her hands and down her face. And Steven, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but any Game of Thrones fan will know exactly the scene that I'm talking about. And she was able to recreate that. It was like it just took it to the next level. You know, it's one thing to buy the wig and walk around as Daenerys. It's another thing to put all that extra effort into it. So
that, speaking of someone putting extra effort into it, there was a woman that was there. I'm sure that she's in some cosplay gallery around from the show. But she was doing Spider-Woman, like Venom. Like, being taken over by the symbiote, and she was mid-transformation, so she had, like, the black lines of the symbiote, coming up from her torso up onto her face. And I was trying to find the AFK room run by Take This, because I needed a minute. And, because, no lie, I always need a minute with that place, because it's crazy. And the AFK room is the only place that's quiet in that whole place. So I was trying to find it, and I stumbled into the hallway where all the cosplayers were, like, doing their photo opportunities.
Uh-huh.
And so I had seen her on the floor, and she was super tall. Like, she was taller than me. So, I mean, what, 6'1"? So she is a very tall, very powerful woman. And she was a very convincing Spider-Man woman because she was very flexible. And I was like, you are terrifying me right now. But the makeup job was amazing because first I thought it was just a bodysuit. Yeah. And then as I walked closer, I was like, crap, somebody painted that on your body. Maybe it was a stencil. I'm not really sure. But either way, it was super crazy. Like, mid-transformation symbiote Spider-Man, which is kind of rad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does sound cool. All right, so all in all, good show for you?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I mean, it was productive. I went to a panel that was about improving your games writing that was run by Susan Arndt and Alexander Sluwinski and Jonathan Holmes from Destructoid. And we found out that Jonathan Holmes was on Road Rules?
No.
Do you know who Jonathan Holmes is? You probably know of him. He was the editor.
Yeah, so, of him, yes.
Yeah, so he talked about how he was on the season 5 of Road Rules, and Susan Arndt, who watched Road Rules religiously, never knew that that was him, but when he described what he looked like on the show, she had, like, a complete meltdown. A Susan Arndt excitement meltdown. I mean, you've heard those, because, like, she was a big fan, and she liked this guy, and whatever. And I learned a lot of good stuff. It was very useful. I think it was exactly what I needed it to be. Made some connections, got to play some cool games. I didn't die.
That's always a good thing.
It was so cold, though. Oh, my
God. You didn't catch a PAX plague?
Nope, I did not.
Okay.
I was very excited. You know why? Because you can avoid that by not touching people.
This is true. But you had to touch controllers, which were touched by other people. Unless you, like, hand sanitized before and after you touched
I was controller. Very lucky that most of the controllers that I touched were by appointment.
Uh-huh.
And they were cleaning them in between appointments. I watched. There was one game I went to. I met a PR woman named Wonder, and I thought that was such a cool name. and as I came in, she was cleaning the controller for the game.
Okay. You got to keep those things clean. I remember when I was doing marketing, we were exhibiting at, I think it was San Diego Comic-Con, so, like, crazy, crazy crowds of people, and the game was on Wii, and it used the Wiimote and the nunchuck, and, like, there is some, like, gross sludge, like, left on this controller, like, all the time. We were like, we had, like, a giant sized tub of those sanitizing wipes, and it was just disgusting. It was disgusting, anyhow.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
All right, so that's PAX East.
Yep.
Won't be another PAX for a while. Is PAX West the next one? Maybe Australia? I don't know.
PAX Australia. PAX Australia is in October, a couple weeks before PAX Unplugged. I think they probably have Chicago or something. Well, let's look.
Maybe.
That's what the internet is for.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. All right. So while Steven's looking, we're moving to some news. Mass Effect Andromeda. It's not coming out to March 21st, but if you have EA/Origin access, you can play it right now. So that's cool. It's not an unheard of thing for EA to do. Like, they did that for Battlefield 1, right? Right, Steven?
Absolutely. EA Access, that's what they do. They take the big games, they put it up there. They have indicated that the EA Access, it's going to be somewhat limited. You can play the multiplayer all you want, but the story mode will be gated. You will only be able to go so far. You can play it for the full 10 hours, but you will only be able to go so far. I'm looking forward to it. This is probably the only way I'm going to be playing this game for quite some time. So.
I'm actually not going to get to play it for quite some time either. Still working on Horizon. I want to finish that before I would start this, and that's going to be a long time. And I'm going to pull out my novel that I finished in February. We'll have done its... It's necessary hibernation, so I need to pull it out to do another draft and then look for readers, and so I want to do that first as well. So honestly, I don't see us actually buying this until, like, May, probably. So
that's only a month from now.
It's a little more than a month from now.
Or anyhow. 2 months. 2 months.
Yeah. So
you'll get
so that. That's that. Yeah, I mean, we will. We will get it eventually. It's just, you know, being a parent, you don't play things right when they come out all the time. But speaking of Mass Effect Andromeda, if you play Rock Band 4, you're going to start to see some cool Mass Effect gear in the store for Rock Band. I'm looking at the IGN article. They have some pretty awesome pictures of the Mass Effect stuff. You can basically get up full N7 gear, which is pretty awesome. So and it's free. It's part of a free update. So that's pretty cool. Cross promotion for the win. Let's see what else is happening. So Capcom is going to be bringing a bunch of old Disney games to Xbox One and PlayStation 4. It is called the Disney Afternoon Collection and includes Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, DuckTales 2, and Tailspin. Have you played any of these games, Steven?
I played most of them, in fact. This is super good news, because most of these games were out of print or super hard to find.
Right.
Like, this is, from a preservation perspective, this is huge. So these are games that would have been lost to time. But the fact that they're being released on the Xbox One, and Microsoft has said that all games made, you know, Xbox One moving forward forever will be compatible with each other. This means that this is a game you're going to be able to have, you know, like, so I am a huge fan of that. And they're good games. I mean, DuckTales is one of the best platformers ever made. Chippendale's Rescue Rangers is an amazing co-op experience. I think that this is definitely a nostalgia play. I don't think that a lot of kids will have any real understanding. Like, this isn't going to get marketed as like a family type thing, because I don't think kids will get it. But it, I mean, I'm excited. I enjoyed these games on the NES, and being able to play them again. And from a preservation standpoint, I want them to do this all the time, just forever.
Yeah. I haven't played any of these games, and I didn't know that this was coming. Actually, I didn't know about it. I before I read about it on GameSpot, which is the story that I'm looking at now, it was on my Facebook feed from my developer friend Mike Micah. Is like, our game finally got announced. I'm like, oh, that's good. So that's Digital Eclipse is developing it. Digital Eclipse, if you know anything, they're all about keeping the retro world alive.
Yeah,
by
this sounds
remaking.
Sounds like a good match for them. And it's $20.
Yeah.
That's a really good price for 6 games. Even if you only end up playing one of them, it's still worth it. Tailspin is a really cool, like, side-scrolling arcade, like almost like a spaceship shooter, kind of like Gradius or whatever, only you're blue in a biplane. They're real good. These are games that I this will be one of my more recommended games of the year. I just don't think a lot of kids are going to understand. You're going to have to explain it. But this is like the Mega Man Legacy Collection when they put that out, right? Like, it's just, this is real good.
Yeah. So that's coming out later this year. You will be able to play...
April.
Is it April?
I think April 18th.
Yeah. That's pretty quick then.
No love for the Switch, though? Like, why is this not on the Switch? That just feels dumb to me. I'm sure that that's probably being announced. I mean, so give it time, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, it was, I wouldn't be surprised if the devs just didn't have the equipment to make it for Switch right away, but I'm sure they probably do now. Unconfirmed, probably will be coming to Switch, but unconfirmed. I don't like to start rumors here. So something that's pretty cool is the free PlayStation Plus game for April is actually going to be Drawn to Death, which is a brand new game. So it's going to be free for PlayStation Plus members right out of the gate. Drawn to Death was created by David Jaffe, who is also the creator of God of War and Twisted Metal. I played this a little bit at... Where did I play this? It must have been PAX. I didn't go to E3, so it must have been PAX. Don't laugh at me. It's a multiplayer arena thing, like Overwatch. So, Steven, you should like it. The cool thing about it is that it's the whole art style looks like, you know, some teenager drawing on their notebook and like heavy metal type stuff. It's all like black and white with splashes of red. This is really, really cool art style. When I played it, it's not my thing, and I was terrible at it, which, you know, doesn't help at all. But yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, and that's a huge deal for PlayStation Plus to get this thing for free. Yep. So there's that. Other quick news for our Nintendo fans. Legend of Zelda Symphony has announced their locations and dates. It's going to be lots of places all over the world. 15th, Seattle, September 22nd. I wonder if Courtney will be going to that. My guess is going to be yes. Even if you don't live nearby a huge city center, it looks like there's probably one that's close to you. So if you want to go listen to the symphony, play music from Zelda, that's there you go. You can buy tickets now for most of those. But anyhow, that's cool. Steven, have you ever gone to one of these?
Nope.
No plan to?
I don't. Man, I don't like people. And that, like, I go to PAX because I have to. But if I could have all those people just come to my house, I would. No, I mean, you know what? If there was one that was super close to me, like if they did it in Hartford or something, I probably would kind of have to go. But...
Yeah. All right. So that's that that's happening. So it's a little bit of a more of a topic than a news story. And that Jim Sterling, who is a freelance games reporter, he's been covering stuff for forever. He reviewed Breath of the Wild and gave it a 7 out of 10. And according to the internet, he may as well just have killed somebody, which isn't really a surprise to most of us who know about things going on the internet. But yeah, so it's like, think another thing that people are freaking out about is because of his review, or they think it's because of his review, the Metacritic has brought the score down to 97, which is not good enough for people, apparently. It had been 98 until his review posted. But yeah, some people even brought a lawsuit against him.
Well,
I don't even know.
I can speak to all that. So let me just I'll fill in some details. So number one, in regards to the Metacritic thing, it was a 98, which put it in the company of there were three games that have a 98. By dropping it down to a 97, now it's tied with eight other games. Which really, it's still in rare company, but not like one of the best Metacritic games of all time. So that's why people are freaking out. Whatever. The lawsuit thing was a company that sued him because he negatively reviewed their game. And they were abusive, and they sued him for, I think, like $5 million or something like that for damages.
Wow.
And he won. The thing with Jim Sterling is he is not afraid to make a point. And if he doesn't like something, he's going to tell you. And if he likes something, he will also tell you.
Yes.
The issue here is he didn't even give Breath of the Wild a bad score. He gave it a 7.
Yes.
He gave it a 7.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason was because he really didn't like the weapon degradation mechanic. Now, I will tell you, as someone who is playing the game, the weapon degradation mechanic is kind of annoying. So I kind of get it. I understand what it's telling me to do. It really forces you to use different weapons. You know? That's what it's telling you to do. It's telling you to find different weapons and, like use different fighting styles. You know, maybe you shouldn't just fight with a long sword and a shield the entire time. Maybe you should use a two-handed axe. Maybe you should use a spear, whatever. Which was one of the best parts of Wind Waker. The key is, with Wind Waker, weapons didn't break, so you could just kind of do whatever you wanted, right? Like,
yeah.
So he just didn't like that. It just bugged
him.
He didn't see the point. He would have much rather had a bunch of weapons that you just earned over time to use in different situations and, like, forced you to use them against different enemies rather than having you have to kind of react on the fly. And so he gave it a 7. But a 7 by his scale and by most company scales. By the way, this is why Engage Family Gaming does not score our reviews.
Right.
is because by any other account, like, the game is really, he said it was good. So it was even great. You know, 7 is a good score.
7 is a good score.
6 is
you
a good
score. You run into
that.
It's funny because, you know, obviously at IGN, you know, you get into score arguments all the time, but you get some backlash. Like, I had never, ever imagined the backlash I would get for giving Darkspore a 7. It was just insane. Like, people just went off. And for Darkspore, I mean, I was surprised that it had such a massive vocal, well, maybe it wasn't massive, but such a very vocal following to, like, totally rip me a new one because I gave it a 7. And of course the she's a girl, she doesn't know, obviously came out into those arguments as well, but it was a 7. It was okay.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, people get way bent out of shape. We talked about this once on Girl Fight. Dana Jungle Ward, who was on there with me and actually who is my boss, she's wonderful, doesn't write about games anymore, which is a little bit of a shame. But she, like, she made the point, like, these people, it's like they almost take it personally. And it's, you know, it's like, you know what? You like this game. That's great. I don't have to like it. But that's okay, too. It
yep.
doesn't mean that you're a bad person if I don't
yep.
like the same games that you do. And it's just, they just get so, just so annoyed about this.
Yeah.
So another thing that happened with Jim Sterling is his site has gotten a DDoS
yep.
attack. So
yeah.
much fun there.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Yeah, the idea that you know, and yeah, it's just the it's embarrassing to be a Zelda fan right now. Is really what it is.
Yeah.
Because who cares if it's only a 97 on Metacritic? It is
yeah.
more likely than not going to be the game of the year this year, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, forget my whether or not what people think about my opinions. Let's look at major gaming news sites. Like, it's probably going to be game of the year in multiple different places. And it's in great company, right? Like, it's going to be kicking
yeah.
the crap out of games like a new Mass Effect and Horizon
yeah.
and a new Red Dead game. And
yeah.
I can't imagine even Rockstar is going to be able to beat this thing. This is a truly transcendent experience. You'll understand when you get there.
Yeah.
Like, this thing is absolutely insane. I was playing it this afternoon. Like, it's crazy good. The fact that someone else, I don't know where we got as a society, as far as gamers, to decide that someone else not liking something has any impact at all about whether or not we like it.
Right.
There was a game I bought when I owned the Nintendo 64 that was called Mace the Dark Ages. And it was a
okay.
fighting game that was very much aping on Mortal Kombat. Right?
Mm.
Objectively, it was a bad game. It was clunky as all get out. The combos were hard. The controls were non-responsive. But my brother and I, we loved that game. We learned all the characters, and we had, like, our own in-house meta where
yeah.
we decided who we were going to play and how we would play against each other. And that game was terrible. I mean, it was just awful, right? But, like, we loved it.
Yeah.
So who cared?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up
yeah.
right now to see what its Metacritic score was.
Yeah. That's another thing, too, is Metacritic is sort of... It's sort of the bane of lots of people's existence. By lots of people, I mean game developers, because unfortunately, some companies do link bonuses or other things to Metacritic. And
yeah.
Metacritic, you know, used to be like, you know, your well-respected, well-known sites were on there, GameStop, IGN, all those guys. But now, they have so many sites that they work into their scores. They're like a ridiculous amount of sites. So, I mean, you can't even take them seriously anymore, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just a, yeah. I mean, it's just a good place to get, I guess an average. But I really wish that game publishers wouldn't hold their teams to this ridiculous standard.
I agree.
It's ridiculous. So.
Yeah. In fun fact, the review for Mace the Dark Ages...
Uh-huh.
As printed on GameSpot back in 1997 was by one Jeff Gerstmann. That's
nice.
The guy that licked the Switch cartridge first.
Yes. Yeah.
That dude's been around a long time. He's been writing about games since I was 17 years old. Yeah. Jeff, my man. I hope you're okay. That's why he's licking. He's just. I don't know what else to do. So anyway.
Right.
He gave it a 4.5 out of 10 or a 5.5 out of 10. Like, it was objectively bad. It was a terrible game, but it was fine. I loved it. Oh man, I still have great memories of playing that game. It's one dude. We had people calling it like, oh, he hates Nintendo. So that means he just wanted to send a message to Nintendo that he doesn't like their stuff. And it's like, no. Because if he hated Nintendo, he wouldn't review their stuff. Because it would be more news if he refused. Because Jim Sterling is a big deal. If he just said, no, I'm never reviewing a Nintendo game again, that would be sending a bigger message.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's a message that I don't think Nintendo would give a crap about, because Nintendo fans are going to buy their games even if they were never reviewed. Who waits for a review on a Legend of Zelda game, really?
Right.
You know? Yes. Like, who's waiting for that?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody is, I'm sure. I sure as hell wasn't. I mean, what? I mean, anyway.
Yeah. I don't pay much attention to reviews at all, either. Like,
I know you
reviews...
don't. You yelled at me about that the other week.
Yeah. Well, because I don't... I mean, I'm sure that lots of these people are fine, but I don't know a lot of the people who are writing reviews anymore, except for Arthur Gies at Polygon. And I read his reviews, and I trust him because I know him, and I know that he's very respectable and can look at things very objectively. So he's pretty much the only one. So right now, I take more word of mouth than anything, which I think is what most people should do anyhow, because your friends are going to know you better than a random reviewer, so they should be able to tell you what you would like and what you wouldn't.
Are you implying that you don't trust me to be objective?
No.
I'm just kidding. No. I'm just kidding.
I was going to give you a compliment. Like, so you're part of the word of mouth that I pay attention to.
Oh, okay.
Sure, Steven. Forget it. I'm not ever going to compliment you again. God.
Never again? Well, that's fine. Anyway. So.
Yeah.
Video games.
So I don't have any more news. Do you have any more news, Steven? Or do you want to just jump right into talking about more Zelda?
No, wait. There is something that I wanted to talk about. So there is you'll appreciate this. There is a Kickstarter that just went live today. So if you're listening to this 2 days ago, called Battle Princess Madeline. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Battle Princess Madeline. There's going to be some coverage going up on Engage Family Gaming over the coming weeks. But Battle Princess Madeline is a game designed by a dude who had a young daughter who liked to play Ghosts and Goblins. And she was disappointed that the guy in Ghosts and Goblins was a dude. And he said, well, that's fine. I can make you a game with a girl. What color armor should she wear? And she said, pink. And so he was like, fine. So... It's straight up Ghosts and Goblins obviously a more advanced art, kind of hand drawn characters. And with a female protagonist named Maddie, after his daughter. And his daughter is an active participant in the development team from a level and character design standpoint. He will not tell us what that means, but I suppose that means we're going to be fighting monsters designed by Madeline.
Nice.
And so that's up on Kickstarter right now. It's going to be out on... Their goal, assuming they make it, is Steam, Xbox One, PS4, and Switch. But this is not some fly-by-night thing. And they're actually doing all right. The campaign went live a couple hours ago, and they're already almost 20% of the way there.
Cool.
And they've got a month to go, so that's pretty good stuff. I mean, it got traffic from Eurogamer, things like that. So, they're at about seven. Yeah, they're almost at 20% of their goal. They're looking for 44 grand, and they're at 7,700. So almost 20%. Wow, okay. So yeah, it's very neat. Very excited about it. I think anyone that is interested in supporting this project, which I think this is a cool project to support, get on in there and take a look at it.
Oh, you know what? I said that there was no more news. Well, this isn't video game news. I totally was going to talk about this earlier, but I forgot. They released a new Wonder Woman trailer. Steven, did you see the new Wonder Woman trailer?
Good God, is that trailer cool. This is the one with her origin story, right?
Can I just
say that the little girl they have to play like young Diana is easily the most like adorable person I've ever seen on television, or not on television, but like
she is. Yeah.
My God, she's like, and she looks like a young Gal Gadot. Like,
yes.
Could they have done like I can't imagine they could have done better.
Yeah, yeah. So, this trailer is amazing. I would say it tops the other trailers that they've released thus far. My husband would hate it because, especially if you combine it with the other trailers, you had a pretty good sense of what the story is. But that's okay. I love it. It's going to be awesome.
Well, of course. I mean, it's not like, were there really going to be any surprises in Wonder Woman?
Well, one of the things that, that this trailer cleared up, that had been some speculation, would be her actual origin, because she has about 5 different origin stories throughout the comics.
True.
So it was, it was definitely a question of which one that they were going to use. And it seems to be the one from the New 52 series that DC put out in the early 90s, I want to say. I don't remember exactly.
New 52 was like 4 years ago.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I must have been thinking something else. But yeah, I haven't read those ones yet. Totally been wanting to get them, but other things have been occupying my time,
like
books I need to read for book club, and games and writing books and dealing with a little girl who can't wait to go to England and can't wait for her birthday and can't wait for Easter, interestingly enough, as we are a non-religious household. Anyhow, that's a whole other issue. Okay then, so games, Steven, obviously you've been playing Zelda. Do you have anything new to say about Zelda?
Yeah. First off, I'd like to reiterate that it's really good. I went into my very first dungeon, which is impressive considering it's like 20 hours in and I just decided randomly to go into a dungeon. this game, it's really good. I mean, I don't really have anything else to say much other than that. It's really good. It is, the dungeon warped my brain in ways that I didn't think I was ever gonna have happen. I have never, been able to, so, without spoiling it, I have never been able to manipulate the map before. Like, I don't remember a time where I wasn't just exploring, going from room to room and, like, opening doors is different. Like, this is one where there are whole areas that you have to interact with, and by interacting with it in a certain way, it opens up different. It's just crazy how mind-bending this colossus was, and you're going running around outside it, on top of it. What I really liked about it is that it felt like what it was. The dungeons are very specific things, right? And you felt like you were inside that thing to scale, and it was awesome. And I, and so for those playing it, if you have just started it, it is worth doing these dungeons. You'll know what I'm talking about. Like, give it, what I don't even have to say it. You'll understand. It is worth doing them, because it's certainly worth it because the rewards are well worth it. They aid you in your quest in ways that are more than, you get another heart container, blah, 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 blah. Like, because the thing with this game is they give you all the tools right up front. And everything, you just go and you just go do it, right? So you might be like, well, why, what's the worry about doing these dungeons? No. They figured out a way to give you some really interesting stuff. And it's very cool design space, so go do it. And they're wicked cool. Don't rush. Take your time, enjoy the game, but they are worth it. Trust me. And if it feels like wet, that one's a good one to start with, I think.
Okay. Have you been playing anything else, or is it pretty much just Zelda?
I played more. Oh man, I played Spectre of Torment, which is the new Shovel Knight.
Was that
like a tinge of disgust?
No, it was just, I didn't know what you were talking about. You said it's new Shovel Knight, and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay, I thought that was a dismissive. I thought that was a dismissive. Okay. So, no. Here's the thing. If you like Shovel Knight, Spectre of Torment is more Shovel Knight, but it is way harder. Way harder. Because Spectre Knight, this is a prequel, so it's before, basically, he was, like, dead.
Okay.
It's a very tragic story, actually, this guy does. And so his big trick is that he uses his scythe, and he can move at an angle through either enemies or, like, lamps or candles that are all over the levels. But if he just went up, he can't go up again. He must go down. So you do like the zigzag across the level. It is, that creates some very interesting platforming challenges where you have to use that and not have your momentum carry you immediately down into a pit. It's a challenge, but it's super good. Little darker. But it's a prequel. Like he's assembling the bad guys that become the villains in Shovel Knight. It's part of the treasure trove. So if you don't already own Shovel Knight, if you bought Shovel Knight initially, like if you backed it on Kickstarter or whatever, then you get this for free. It's a download. Just go to whatever console you own it on and download it. If you've never bought it, I highly recommend buying the treasure trove because it includes Shovel Knight and Plague Knight and now Spectre Knight and will eventually include King Knight and a battle mode. So it'll be worth it to have, to spend the $25 and just get all four of these games. Because if this were put out back on the NES, this would have just been Shovel Knight 2. Shovel Knight, maybe Shovel Knight 3, depending on how they wanted to do, what they want to do with Plague Knight. But it is completely different, all new levels, all new bosses. It's rad. 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 What about you?
Cool.
What have you been playing?
I'm trying to think. It's only two, really. I've been playing more Hearthstone. Like I said, I'm trying to save up as much gold as possible, so I've been jumping in and doing the daily quests.
Sure.
As much as I can, just to get the gold. But some of my quests have been like kind of annoying. So like they'll say like win 3 games or 5 games playing as such and such class. And so I'll do that with some classes that I haven't really played much and don't really know very well.
Yeah.
I'll win the first one, but then it becomes impossible basically to win another one. But I don't want to cancel that quest because I already made progress to it. So that's annoying. Right now I'm having troubles with Warrior. but anyhow, what I've been playing more of is Horizon Zero Dawn. As I mentioned, I got my daughter to watch that with me instead of her making me play Final Fantasy 15. And she enjoyed it. I don't know if this is the same Final Fantasy 15 or whatever, but you collect all these resources from the world. They have these little triangles, and like she's very, very good at spotting all of the resources.
Oh yeah.
Which is great to a certain degree because there are some points where I just run by the resources because I've got more than enough stuff. I don't need to stop and pick up another, bit of wood or whatever. But she's like, Mommy, over there. So it was fun and not fun having her watch me at the same time. but it's funny too because she was waiting like for bad guys, quote unquote, or friends. Like, because you're all by yourself. And she's like, well, where's your friend? Where's your friend? And I said, that's okay, honey. I can make robots my friends. So I tamed some striders so that she could see me ride robots. I'm still not terribly far in that game. I've been doing all the side stuff that as it pops up.
Yep.
So I just finished the first cauldron. I don't even know, are the cauldrons mandatory? I don't remember if they are or not.
No, they're not.
I finished the first one of the first one of those. Yeah. I finished the first one of those right before we started recording. But super cool. Yeah, if you're not gonna do the cauldrons though, it's like a dungeon for the most part. They're really great, puzzle-y type stuff. Yeah, that's about it. I'm still loving that game. It's really good. Just like Steven could only sell Zelda, it's really good. This is really good. The story is interesting, and it's got some sense of humor in it too. Like there is one side quest that I did where you're supposed to go find somebody who got left behind from like their war party or whatever, and he's all like shocked to be saved by a girl, and he's like, you know, I never would have thought of blah blah blah, and you know, and she's like, fine, whatever, if you don't want to come back with me, you can just stay here, see ya. I was like, yes, that is awesome. All right, well, I think that's it. Thanks so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to gamingwiththemoms@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at gamingwithmoms. Steven, as noted at the top of the show, is editor and founder of Engage Family Gaming. What's going on at Engage Family Gaming?
More of the same for those folks that regularly consume our content. However, I would encourage everyone to subscribe to the podcast. We are looking to grow our numbers. They have been growing steadily in recent weeks. However, cool. We're looking for more folks. So that's iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, soon to be other platforms, just to spread the word. Otherwise, you know, the standard issue stuff, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and join the Facebook community, which is growing significantly recently, thanks to a shout out on the Nerdist podcast. So welcome to everybody new in there, but certainly join it. That's engagefamilygaming.com/community.
Cool. All right. Well, that wraps it up. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Bye.